beauty for ashes, if that ain't something to shout about, I don't know what is. We're going to turn to Isaiah 6 and then a few other places, but before you guys go there, I wanted to finish up just on something out of Psalm 37:4 that both Charlie and Sue were ministering out of today. Sue was doing it from an interesting angle that I want to just return the gloss she had, which came up in the context of Sue and Rick are in the process of trying to shed some weight. They're overweight. I mean, they're way overweight. So they're trying to shed some weight. And one of the things that Sue was talking about in it was that she noticed her daughter, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, the way in which she applied butter and syrup to her breakfast this morning. I was talking with her about it. And the point that Sue was bringing up is that how if as you begin to eat right in a manner that's more moderate and that's better for your body, what you find is your tastes actually change. And see, Charlie, what he's really getting at here is, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, it doesn't mean that all those things that you always wanted before you knew them, that all of a sudden he's going to dump them on you. No, what he's talking about is your tastes change. When you delight yourself in the Lord, when doing what he would have you do becomes the thing you want more than anything else, all of a sudden what happens is what you want changes. Now what you want are the things of the kingdom of God. That's why he says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. Because he wants you to have all of the good things of his kingdom. He doesn't want you to be lacking in any of them. Now, if you listen to the songs we sang today, they're all of those angles. Every single one of those songs was about bad people and good God. Bad people and good God. Created me a clean heart. If I got to have him created me a clean heart, that means I got an unclean heart, right? You know, if I'm singing about beauty for ashes, that means I got ashes and I want beauty, right? You know, what were some of the other songs you guys sang this morning?
Fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. In other words, I'm empty. Feed me till I want no more. Yeah, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. All of these things are things where what it is it testifies against us and for him. And it was funny. Ricky was talking a little bit about Brother Phil today. And he was talking about Brother Phil's former life. And he was talking about, oh, yeah, Phil was all messed up and stuff like that. The part that I'm not sure if Ricky got or if he made it clear to you guys, as those of you who are listening, is see, Phil's still the exact same disaster he was before. And Phil recognizes that. Every single day he recognizes that. And so the same disastrous Phil that God was able to transform, set him free of drug addiction that was literally killing him. The same Phil that was following after lusts of his flesh and getting himself into all sorts of troubles, got him reorganized in manners that were a blessing to Phil and good for him and his family. That same God is working today to perform the same miracle every single day in Phil's life. And that's what Sister Gail was talking about this morning. She was talking about the miracle that God performs in each of our lives every day. Now, the reason why I wanted to turn to Isaiah 6 here for a moment, I guess to a certain extent this is kind of personal to me, but it's actually more than that because I watch as I share things with folks and I watch how it has kind of the same effect on them. So here, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, the holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I want to hit on that just for a moment real quick before we go on. Two elements of that. Holy, holy, holy. See, one of the things is that God is not us. He is not like us. He's not like us at all. He is not corrupt. He's not a liar. He's not a cheater. He's not all about himself. He actually lives a life and has a plan that's all about us. Our reconciliation to him and all the goodness that he has to give being able to be shared with us, not just now, but for all eternity. Lord God of hosts, 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 hosts are armies. See, one of the things is when we get out here and we have to struggle, and we struggle with different things, and you got battles. We call it about battles we've got. John was talking to me about a battle he had this morning. I don't believe John has that battle anymore, praise God. But the thing is that when you're in the midst, whether it be somebody directly overtaking you, somebody trying to destroy you, somebody trying to rob you, what do you need? You need somebody a lot more powerful than the one trying to do that to you, don't you? You need somebody who can bring an army to bear at any moment on your behalf. See, that's what he's seeing. He's seeing the Lord God of hosts, of armies, armies that win, armies that prevail always, always for every situation. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, it's an amazing thing. We look out here. Jesus talks about how he causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He causes all of these things to happen. And what do we have to do with any of them? I mean, did we have to discover gravity? Did we have to discover the forces of nature, any of these things, to enjoy the fruits of them? No, we didn't have to know anything about any of them. They were set there for us. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. And every single day we are blessed by those things that God established for us that testify of him always, continuously. But then there's us. Remember, we're the ones who were, you know, created me a clean heart. Why? Because our hearts aren't clean. How many people, out of the 7 billion people who are on this earth, how many people do you think go and seriously ask the Lord, who even realize they don't have a clean heart? Who even realize it, and then realize it enough to believe that there's a God who would clean it for them? How many people do you think know that? I can tell you, not many. Many people should know it, especially those people who call themselves Christians. They should know it because it's right there in the word we say we believe, right? But you know what? You listen to it, and it's kind of funny. It came up also in Rick's thing. He was reading out of John 9 today about the man who was born blind. What do his disciples say? His disciples say, was it this man's sin? Gosh, he was born blind. Give me a break. What did he do when he was in this? When he was in the womb, did he like give his mom the finger or something like that? What did he do? Give me a break. How could he have had anything to do with this? Right? He couldn't have had anything. But disciples, could it be his sin or the sin of his parents? You know, which is it? Right? You know why we say things like that? Because, of course, we weren't born blind. They weren't born blind, and therefore there must be some reason why he was that makes us better than him. No. In fact, this, as Jesus answered, it had nothing to do with that man or his parents. It had to do with that God set it up that on that day, Jesus was going to pass his way and see that man saw. And that man, when he saw, was going to become a minister of the Lord, not years from now, immediately. Immediately he became a minister of the Lord. Immediately. See, he was one of these, and you look at it in the scripture, you see it all the time. Look at it. You look at Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Was it their sin that her womb was closed up? Was it his sin that her womb was closed up? No, it had nothing to do with either of that. It had to do with the fact that the Lord, in his grace and love and provision, was going to give them a child unlike any other, who was going to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, even while he was in his mother's womb, glorifying God and testifying by leaping with joy that the mother of his Lord had come into his presence when he was yet in the womb. So the Lord had shut it up that it could be opened in due time. Did not that happen to Sarai, better known as Sarah? Did not that happen to Rebecca? Rebecca, who's the mother of Isaac and Esau, her womb was closed after 20 years of marriage, I think it was. Somebody can go check. I apologize if I got the years wrong. But it was a while, and it wasn't for lack of trying that they didn't seem to be able to have a child. But they couldn't have a child, and Isaac prayed, and God opened her womb, and she had two children, Esau and Jacob. And the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before they were even born. Before they were even born. And you go through and you look at Samson's mother and father. You look at Samuel's mother, Hannah. You look at person after person in the scripture who, what happened is something was withheld from them. And on that day that they received, boy, did they give God the glory and thanksgiving. So a lot of times things are going on for reasons that are completely unknown to us. But in that instance that Rick was reading about, it was known to Jesus. And that's why that man who was blind from his mother's womb was healed. There were others that were not, though there were many who were healed. Remember the guys who were standing by the wayside when Jesus walked by? And they prayed and asked, and the disciples said, shut up, shut up. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Shut up, shut up. See, his disciples were like us, right? They weren't holy. They weren't holy like God was holy. They were people who were justifying themselves every which way. We're walking with Jesus. Oh, there's some guy who's a poor guy who's blind and stuff like that, begging for mercy. Will you shut up? Don't you see our master's busy? Be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. Who in the hell were they? Who were they? Who were Peter and John and these guys? See, that's why they couldn't believe Mary Magdalene when she came and told them that the Lord had been, she'd seen the risen Lord. See, they were better then. They were better then. The Lord had to continuously humble them. Continuously. Get thee behind me, Satan, he said to Peter. For thou savorest not the things of the kingdom of God, but the things of this world. Had to humble them regularly. Let's follow this second. Okay, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Whew. Let me tell you something. You don't have any idea how many times I have felt just like this, and I haven't even seen the Lord. Pretty pitiful testimony, I suppose. But I have certainly many, 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 many times felt completely undone. How can I in any way do that which you are calling me to do, Lord? How? I mean, I see myself. I see that I am not holy like he is holy. I see that I am a man of unclean lips like he's talking about here. I see all of these things. And how can I hang on and believe God to be something other than that? I feel regularly, completely undone. Like, what more can I say? What more can I do? How can... And by the way, while I'm doing this, I'm seeing you guys, and I'm seeing that you're of unclean lips as well. And I see that it's my job to somehow or other serve the Lord and see that that gets changed in your lives. And it can seem overwhelming. You ever think of that? I mean, we get hung up enough just on our own selves. Now start trying to look at other folks. and look at ways that you got a ministry to these other folks. And that's what Isaiah is seeing. He's seeing in people, Israel, who are unclean. Unclean. They don't seem to realize how unclean they are. But if he didn't see it before, in this moment, when he sees the Lord in his temple, he sees that not only is he completely unclean, but so are they. And what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? So let's watch what happens. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, that's pride, is taken away, and thy sin purged. Wow. Wow. Thine iniquity is taken away. I don't know about you, but I have iniquity that I need taken away. I do. I mean, there's plenty of areas in my life where I can see and realize that I am completely good for nothing and worthless and need the Lord. But then there's some areas in my life where this guy seems to kind of think he might have something. Anybody else? You ever had, like, Bob, you listen to Bob. Bob's a pretty smart guy, isn't he? He knows something about everything, doesn't he? He knows more about everything than you know about just about anything, don't you? What's it say? Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge make us think that we're something because we know something. You don't know anything that you weren't taught. Is there anything you ever learned in your life that you weren't taught, Bob? So wait a second, if he was taught every single thing he knows in his life, then he has to give all the credit to somebody other than himself, right? Can't claim credit for a single thing. Think of that for a moment. What about me? It's the same story. That's awful, Bob. How can you and I be in that same pot together? That really stinks. I don't like that pot. That pot doesn't justify me or make me feel important in any way. But isn't it true? Isn't it true? Is there anything of our own selves that we have received without it being given to us? The answer is nope. And when we think otherwise, we're mistaken. So he says, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Lord, touch my lips. Send that seraphim to touch my lips with that coal from off your altar and take away mine iniquity and my sin, Lord. See, on that altar of the Lord is the mercy seat. The mercy seat is where the blood of Jesus is poured out. It's on that mercy seat that the Lamb of God was slain. And he takes the iniquity away, and he takes the sin away. Thank you, Lord. And he goes on, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. See, that calling that the Lord has on each of your lives, that's what you have to say. Here I am, send me. You have to embrace that. You have to want it. God's not going to, as Phil talked about, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. You have to choose to embrace that. You have to choose to say, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you know what? By Christ Jesus, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I shall I shall do this. I shall lead the worship, and he shall be pleased, and the people shall be blessed. I shall go to Ghana and shall minister and serve the Lord and help raise folks up over there. I shall believe the Lord that I am the apostle called to minister in West Africa. That's not me specifically, folks. But as Lawrence has that calling, I shall embrace that. It does not matter what anybody else thinks or any life I've had for myself or thought I should live. That's the life I want. I don't care if I lose everything. I don't care if I lose my house. I don't care if I lose those four bedrooms that I've got. I don't care if people think I'm a fool. I don't care what anybody thinks. I am going to fulfill that call. End of story. Nothing else matters. It's the attitude you got to have. If any of that matters, you're not going to be able to fulfill it. Not going to be able to fulfill it. We'll never be able to fulfill it. If there's anything on this earth that has priority over him and that call which he has on your life, forget it. You're not going to fulfill that call. You cannot. You cannot serve two masters. You have to make your choice. Which one am I going to serve? And if you're going to serve the Lord, then serve him. Serve him. And trust that that coal, that that blood, not only will purge away your iniquity so it need not rule over you ever again, purge that sin that it need not rule over you. And the thing, if you notice, created me a clean heart, it says. That's not talking about that thing that goes boom, boom in your center of your body. That's not what it's talking about. That's a big muscle in there. And I suppose it's, I don't know if it's clean. I don't know. I've never looked at it while it's going on in there. But if you open it up, it's not going to be clean anymore. But the no, what he's talking about there is your soul. Your soul. And see, when you delight yourself in the things of the Lord, when you delight yourself in him, that means your soul has chosen to prefer the things of the kingdom of God, the things of his kingdom over the things of this earth. And when your soul has chosen to prefer the things of the kingdom of God, he will pour out unto you all the good things of his kingdom that you can hope for, and even more so. And the fact that your flesh is still what your flesh is, it will not have any dominion over you if you delight yourself in the things of the Lord. Delight yourself in loving your brother. Think of that. Just take everything else aside for a moment. How about delighting yourself in loving your brother? How about delighting yourself when you see what's going on with your brother, that you pay attention, you listen, you're seeking the Lord and praying about how what's going on with your brother, you might be able to say or do something that will help your brother. How about that? Think of that. Delighting yourself in that. I mean, really, there's just two commandments, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he went and told him, a new commandment I give unto thee, that ye love one another, referring to your brethren, as I have loved you. So do you embrace that commandment? Do you embrace it and delight to do it? Do you continuously look for opportunities to love your brother? Or do you find your brother inconvenient? Do you find your brother frustrating? Do you find your brother all of these different types of things? If you find your brother those types of things, it's because you're not looking to love your brother. You're looking for your brother to love you. You ever think of that? Ever think of that? That you're actually, what that's an evidence of is how you're looking to have your brother love you. You don't want to love him. You want everybody to love you. That's not what being a Christian's about. That's not at all what being a Christian's about. Now you watch behind, you see these people out here who are struggling, who have miserable lives, their lives are all messed up, all of these different things. Do you care about them, or are you like the disciples were? What sin did this man do, or his parents do, that this has come upon him, judging him? Or do you look at him and see somebody who needs a little compassion? See, that's the life he wants us to embrace. And that life seems too tall for us. It seems too tall for us. When we look at ourselves honestly, it seems too tall for us. Why? Because it's so contrary to us. It's contrary to us. But you know what? It's in that place of being undone like Isaiah was. Think of it. His first thing he sees is he sees the Lord in his temple, and immediately he was undone. Share a little story with you. About 3 weeks ago, I was talking with Phil, and I said, Phil, you want me to let you in on a little secret? I don't remember if I waited for him to answer because I told him the secret anyways. But I might have. He might have said, yeah. I said, yeah, sure, because he might not like this. I think I did tell him that. He said, yeah. So I told him, and you know what? He didn't even like it more than he thought he wasn't going to like it. I mean, he didn't like it so bad that he actually sent me a text like the next day or 2 days later at like 3 a.m. my time when he was getting up still undone by that which I had shared with him. And I texted him back at 3 a.m. words of hope in the word. Well, Phil called me, might have been yesterday. It wasn't yesterday, it was the day before, calls me. I just can't thank you enough, Steve. I just can't thank you enough. It was funny. I just can't thank you enough. I'm thinking, for what, Phil? First of all, he was thanking me for Wednesday night service. I told him, you know, if they'd hooked me up to one of those meters that tells you your heartbeat, this was me Wednesday night service, flatlining. I'm just thinking, man, I'm dying out here. I'm just dying, flatlining. Phil goes, I come home, I ask my wife, do you get anything out of service? She said, well, you had to basically love one another. So there was like one blip. And then it was flatlining again. I was like, that was really not very helpful. That was so encouraging. So Phil calls me. It was actually Friday morning, I think it was now. He calls me on Friday morning. I just listened to your service. That was great. You really spoke to me and all this other stuff. It was kind of funny. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty amazing, Phil. And then he proceeds, I just can't thank you enough about what you said to me a few weeks back and everything, because I'm not there yet, but the Lord's really working with me, and praise God. So look, I can tell you, I personally really know what it's like to be undone. I know very much what it's like to be undone. I dwell in that place of being undone regularly. Don't be afraid of that place. See, it's in that place that you're coming into the presence of the Lord and you're seeing yourself as you actually are, as opposed to how you might like to think of yourself. And I know that a lot of times the Lord has me say things to you that make you feel undone. Like, what hope is there for me? I'm so terrible. How can I ever change this? And all of that other kind of stuff. And the thing is that if you believe that, that is to deny the Lord in everything he says he is. In every aspect of the Lord, it's to deny the Lord. It's deny his death on the cross, that his blood is sufficient to take away all your sin. It's to deny the power of his Holy Spirit, which he promises to give you, because it's by that that you do all things of Christ Jesus. It's to deny everything about the Lord when you believe that testimony. And I share this with you because I hear it from you guys all the time. You don't realize it, but I hear it from you all the time. I'll say something hard, and that's what happens with people. They just want to give up and everything. And they don't realize, no, that all I'm doing is pointing out the thing that's holding you back. If you haven't realized this, well, it's because you've been blind to it because of your own pride. And the Lord's simply seeking to open up your eyes to it that you can get past that which is seeking to destroy you. Get past it. And he wants to bring this fellowship together as one in him to go forward and do extraordinary things that exceed abundantly above all that each and every one listening to me now has ever believed could be done in their life. Exceeding abundantly above. That's what he has for us. So don't begrudge the fact that the way you get to that place, much like you saw here with Isaiah, is you have to pass through the place of being undone. And then you're going to find that you have to continue in that place of being undone. Because being undone is that place where you're standing by faith solely in what Christ has done and solely in what he can do, and have absolutely no confidence in yourself or anything you can do. And that's to believe his word, because he says, without me, ye can do nothing. That's what the word says. When you believe that and dwell in that place, you may be undone, but he's just getting started and showing you what he can do. So let's embrace that, not begrudge it, have compassion to one another as we pass through these things, but recognize that that's the end he wants for us, is to recognize that we are nothing and he is everything. And in that place, we can minister his hope and his love and his grace and his power and his mercy unto everyone. And that's what needs to happen if we're going to see things change. But we have to have a handle on it in order to be so used. Otherwise, we'll be lifted up in pride and think it's somehow about us when it's not. Amen. Lord, we thank you very much for this day. We thank you for that word that you have given to us. And Lord, we thank you that where we cannot, you can. And we put our hope and our trust in your ability. And forgive us for having looked too often at our own. And may you have mercy upon us, Lord, and may you have grace, and may you indeed lift us up by your mighty power and transform us into a people that you'll be pleased to bless abundantly, that we may share your love and your power with others, that they may join us in your kingdom. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.